Welcome to Retro Rave. Mid bass distort using session view to arrangement view in Ableton Live 12 for those jungle and old school DNB vibes. In this lesson, we're building a bass section that feels alive, gritty, and properly rolled up in that early rave energy. The big idea is simple. Use session view as your performance lab, capture the best moments into arrangement view, and then shape the distortion, filtering, and movement so the bass evolves like a real set moment, not just a loop that got louder. And straight away, let's set the right mindset. We are not distorting the sub for the sake of dirt. The sub stays clean, solid, and mono. The attitude lives in the mid-bass. That's where the retro rave bite comes from, that upper bass. Low mid pressure that gives you that early jungle system being pushed hard feeling. If the sub is stable and the mid-bass is nasty in a controlled way, the whole drop feels heavier and more musical. So, first job, split the bass into two layers. On one track, build your sub. Use operator or wave eatable with a sine wave. Keep it centered, keep it mono, and keep it simple. If you need to, low pass it around 120 Hz or so. But honestly, the main thing is just not letting it get wide or messy. This is the foundation. It should lock with the kick and support the snare without drawing attention to itself. Then create your mid-bass layer. This could be a detuned saw, a res, or even a sampled bass and simpler. The key here is to high pass it so it stays out of the sub zone, usually somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz depending on the sound. That means when we distort it later, we're distorting harmonics and attitude, not just turning the low end into mud. If you want a really useful pro move right from the start, duplicate the mid-bass track and keep one copy cleaner than the other. That clean reference version is gold, because later you can compare and ask yourself, did the distortion add character, or did it just flatten the groove? That question matters a lot in drum and bass. Now we move into session view, because this is where the idea starts to feel like a performance. Build at least 3 MIDI clips for the mid-bass. Clip 1 should be sparse, with short offbeat notes and plenty of space. Clip 2 should be a little more active, maybe call and response, with some syncopation. Clip 3 should be your switch-up, maybe the higher octave stab, a little more urgent, a little more aggressive. Think like a jungle producer here. Leave room for the snare on 2 and 4. Don't write bass that fights the break all the time. Let it answer the drums. That push and pull is part of the old school feel. If every note is trying to be the main event, the groove loses its swagger. A nice way to organize this in session view is to think in energy scenes. For example, one scene for the intro tease, one for the low energy groove, one where the distortion opens up, one for a switch up or fill, and one for the drop variation. That gives you a performance structure before you even commit to the arrangement. Now let's shape the sound with distortion, but in layers, not as one giant monster setting. On the mid-bass track, start building a chain with saturator, overdrive, EQ8, and maybe auto filter. If you want a more aggressive flavor, you can add roar amp as well. The important thing is to think in stages. Gentle saturation first to thicken the sound, then a more obvious drive stage for bite. Then EQ to clean up the mess and expose the useful harmonics. Then filtering for movement. A good starting point is saturator with a few dB of drive and soft clip-on. Then overdrive with the frequency focused somewhere in the mids, maybe around 300 to 900 Hz, with enough drive to add character, but not so much that it becomes fizzy and painful. After that, use a EQ8 to carve out mud around 200 to 400 Hz if needed. That area can get crowded fast, especially once the break and kick are playing. Then put auto filter on there so you can automate the opening and closing of the tone. Here's a really strong advanced move. Put those distortion devices inside an audio effect rack and map a few macros. One macro for saturation drive, one for overdrive amount, one for filter frequency, and one for output gain. That way, you can actually perform the bass evolution in real time. In a DNB context, that's huge, because the bass can feel like it's opening, biting, and collapsing across the phrase instead of staying static. Now let's add some space, but keep it short and controlled. Create a couple of return tracks, one for a short room or plate reverb, and one for a tempo sync delay. Keep the reverb short, maybe around half a second to just over a second, and high pass the return heavily so it doesn't cloud the low end. For the delay, use echo or delay, sync to something like an eighth or dotted 16th, and filter the repeats so they live in the mids instead of the sub. This is classic DNB FX thinking. You want throws, not wash. You want a little halo around a bass stab, not a huge fog machine that kills the punch. Use the delay on the last note of a bar, or do a small reverb throw before a drop or fill. That kind of detail gives the bass a retro rave shimmer without smearing the groove. Now comes the fun part. Perform it. Launch your session view clips like you're DJing your own arrangement. Bring in the bass clips, mute and unmute them, tweak the macros, and let the sound move while the loop is playing. Then record the whole thing into arrangement view. This is the real power of the workflow in Ableton Live 12. You're not just drawing notes, you're capturing decisions. You're catching the moment where the bass opened up at the right time, or where the filter sweep into the fill felt extra dangerous. Those moments become the skeleton of the arrangement. As you perform, aim for a clear energy arc, start restrained. Let the distortion grow across 4 or 8 bars. Bring in a bass variation on the second phrase. Pull the filter down briefly before a fill or a reset. Maybe keep one clip as a damage layer for accents only, something you don't leave on all the time, just for emphasis. Once you've got a take you like, move into arrangement view and tighten it up. Now you're thinking about phrase architecture. In drum and bass, 8-bar and 16-bar structures are your best friends. Make sure the bass and break hit in a way that feels intentional. Align the distortion rise with snare accents or fill hits. Leave at least a little breathing room before major section changes so the next hit lands with more impact. A strong old-school trick is to duplicate an 8-bar section and change just one note, one send, or one fill. That tiny change can make the loop feel alive. You can also use a 1-bar mute before the drop, or a half-bar bass pickup into the next phrase. Even cutting the bass out for a single kick snare bar can create a classic tension and release moment that hits way harder than just adding more layers. Now automate the burn. On the timeline, automate saturator drive, overdrive amount, auto filter cutoff, maybe even a little EQ 8 movement if the tone gets harsh, and utility gain if you need controlled level rides. Start filtered and restrained. Open the filter over 2 bars. Push the distortion hardest on the last half of the bar. Then pull back right before the fill or section reset. That rhythm is really important. In DNB, distortion feels best when it follows the phrase, not when it's just maxed out all the time. If everything is always fully aggressive, the ear adapts and the energy disappears. Automation is part of the groove here. Next, resample the distorted bass. Create a new audio track and record the output of your mid bass while the distortion and filter are moving. Once you've captured it, chop the best hits into simpler or keep them as audio clips. This gives you a ton of options. You can reverse a hit for a transition. You can pitch a stab for a fill. You can freeze a sweet spot of distortion and reuse it as a signature moment. This is especially good for jungle and old school energy, because a lot of that style is about sample abuse, hardware style mutation, and happy accidents. Resampling lets you turn a live performance into new material. And if you want to go further, bounce a 1-bar distorted bass loop, warp it, slice it to MIDI, and trigger those slices under the original bass. That hybrid approach is nasty in the best way. Now make the drums and bass speak to each other. The drum break and the bass should feel like they're in conversation. If needed, add drum bus for a bit of punch and drive, or glue compressor lightly for cohesion on the drum bus. Use EQ 8 to carve out overlap with the sub. If your bass is fighting the break, simplify the bass around the snare hits. If the groove feels stiff, add little ghost note edits or break fills before the bass switch up. A great call and response idea is this: bass answers on beat 1, snare lands on 2, bass stabs again on the end of 2, then the break throws in a fill at the end of the bar, and the distorted bass comes straight back in after that. That interplay is what gives drum and bass its emotional movement. The drums build the architecture, and the bass effects bring the drama. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Do not distort the sub directly. Keep it clean and mono. Do not overdo low-mid distortion without high-passing the layer. Do not widen the bass too much. Do not automate chaos without phrasing. Do not drown everything in reverb and delay. And definitely do not forget headroom. Distorted bass can fool you into thinking louder is better, but if the mix has no space, the impact disappears. If you want to push it darker and heavier, try a parallel trash lane. Make a separate audio track with heavier distortion, bit reduction, or amp drive, then blend it quietly under the main bass. That gives you nastiness without losing definition. You can also use light auto pan for subtle movement, or a very gentle frequency shifter on a duplicate layer for that unstable, hard-tinged edge. Just keep checking mono compatibility, so the club translation stays solid. For arrangement, think like a DJ set, not just a song timeline. Let the bass energy mix from one state into another. Use contrast blocks, maybe 2 bars of dense energy, then 2 bars of space. Maybe make the breakdown a filtered mutation rather than total silence, so the groove identity stays alive. And for a real old-school style moment, create a pre-drop damage bar where the bass gets slightly narrower, more unstable, or more overprocessed, then slam it back into the main sound on the downbeat. As a quick practice challenge, build a single 8-bar phrase. Make a clean sub and mid-bass split. Program 3 clips, sparse, medium, and aggressive. Add saturator, overdrive, and auto-filter to the mid-bass. Jam the clip launches and record into arrangement view. Automate cutoff and drive over the 8 bars. Resample one bar of the nastiest moment. Chop or reverse one hit and place it before the snare fill. Then compare the phrase with and without the FX throws. The goal is to make it feel performed and mutated, not just looped and overdriven.